Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Has God cast away His people? That's the question that Paul is answering in Romans chapter 11. He's talking, of course, about the Jews. And he tells us that God has not cast away His people, at least not totally, because there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And that's the thrust of the first five verses. And then he takes verses 6 and 7 to remind us of the nature of grace. And this is a very important part of God's Word. Romans 11:6. And if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. What then? Israel hath not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Now, in verse 6, we have the nature of grace described. And this is very down to earth, almost seems to be too simplistic, and yet it is so foundational. And he starts with a strong antithesis. And it is as follows. Once we come to see that righteousness is obtained by grace, there's no longer any place for works. But we must clearly define grace and works. And it's as simple as this. Grace is that which is given or received as a gift, depending on whether we're looking at it from the standpoint of the giver or the receiver. But nevertheless, grace is a gift. Works is that which is earned, that which is produced. Now, you've got to keep those things in mind. That's the nature of grace and works. This is the definition of grace and works. And we've got to keep these categories clear because we will find people who will take the vocabulary of grace and works, the vocabulary of grace, I guess I should say, and will distort the meaning of it so that they will call works grace. And talk about salvation by grace, but they really mean salvation by works. Seriously now. And that's why it's so important to keep this in mind. Grace is that which is given as a gift. Works is that which is earned, that which is produced. And so if human merit is inserted, Paul tells us, grace is destroyed. If human initiation is allowed, grace is destroyed. And we can't do that. We've got to keep these categories clear. We've got to keep them separate. Now, one of the reasons we have problems with this when it comes to divine truth is because we tend to mix gifts and rewards and put them on the basis of merit, even though we call them a gift. For example, a scholarship. A scholarship, sometimes we say, is something that is given. It is a gift, but it is assigned on the basis of merit. It is given to someone because they met a certain category, because they earned it, because they deserve it, because they met certain qualifications. So, on the one hand, we treat it as if it is a gift, but in our vocabulary, we talk about it as if it is a gift. I guess that's what I should say. We talk about it as if it is a gift, but we treat it as if it is a reward. That is, a reward as opposed to a gift. A reward is something which is earned, which is produced. If you say to your son or daughter, if you mow the lawn, I will give you $10. Is that a gift or is that a reward? Is that a gift or is that grace or is that works? Well, you say it's grace because I didn't have to give them that opportunity. And, I could mow it myself or let somebody else mow it. I'm giving them an opportunity to earn this money. So it is a gracious act on my part. And it really is a gift. They really don't do a good enough work to deserve $10, but nevertheless, I'm trying to teach them something about the work ethic. That ought to give you a clue. Work ethic. I'm trying to teach them something about the work ethic, so I give them this opportunity, and I say, if you will mow the yard, I will give you $10. What you should say, to keep these categories very clear, is, if you mow the yard, you will earn $10. You're only giving it to them in the sense that you transfer it from yourself to them, but if you make that promise and they mow the yard, it's no longer a gift. It is now an obligation. They met the requirement. They worked for it. They deserve it. They now have a claim upon you. You owe it to them. If you fail to pay it to them, then you have been unjust. You have been a liar. You are a debtor. Now, folks, if one thing is clear in the Bible, it is that God will never be any man's debtor. So there's nothing that we can do to claim God's grace. We can receive God's grace, but we can't lay claim to God's grace. We can't do something to deserve God's grace. If we deserve it, it is no longer grace. It's no longer a gift. It is wages. Don't you understand? Let me read it again, verse 6. And if by grace, then it is no longer of works. These are opposites. You can't mix them. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. Isn't that clear enough? And if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. If you mix works into grace, then grace is no longer grace. No matter what you call it, it's still, by definition, no longer grace. It reminds me of that old thing that somebody said. I think Abraham Lincoln is supposed to have asked somebody one time, how many legs does a dog have if you call the tail a leg? And the person responded, 5, and he said, no, the answer's 4. Calling a tail a leg doesn't make it 1. And calling works grace doesn't make it grace. And saying that, well, salvation is really by grace, but what it is God gives us the grace to enable us to do the works, which then he rewards. And so that's how we are justified. We're justified because of our works, but of course it was God's grace that enabled us to do the works. So, and boy, you've got it all mixed up, don't you? I mean, you've mixed grace and works so hopelessly that you've got them entangled and you can't tell one from the other. Now, you've got to clearly define grace and works. Grace is that which is given, which is received as a gift without obligation. Works is that which is earned and produced. It has, in some way, created a claim, a debt, an obligation. Another reason why we sometimes confuse these categories is because in our giving of gifts, too often, it's not really a true gift. It's a reciprocation. We didn't plan to give somebody a gift for Christmas, but guess what? A package shows up at our door, UPS from them, and suddenly we feel obligated to give them a gift. They gave me a gift. I'm obligated to give them a gift. What'll they think if I don't give them a gift? Well, how did we manage to turn gift-giving into obligation? Boy, we sure know how to mess things up. If it's a gift is a gift, then there should be no obligation attached. If there's an obligation attached, it's not so much a gift as it is a reward. you gave me a gift, I'll reward you by giving a gift to you. And so it's no longer of grace. And that's what Paul is telling us here. If it's something that I work for, something I earn, something I deserve, something I can produce on my own, it is a work. If it is something which I don't have of myself and cannot produce on my own, then it is of grace. And that's what we've got to understand. Grace is grace. Works are works. Don't confuse the two. And I must remind you that in some theologies, I will put a label on this, in Arminian theology, faith is generally thought of as something of my own production, my ability. I come up with a faith, I offer it to God, that's what He requires. He rewards me with salvation because I gave Him what He required, namely faith. Question, is that salvation by grace or is that salvation by works? Oh, no. You can't call faith a work. Well, if it's something that I came up with on my own, if it's something that I produce to meet a requirement of God, if it's something that I give God that He requires and I give it to Him on my own, then it is not grace. It is a merit. Or even if you look at it this way. Well, God gives everybody the ability to believe, but God also gives us the ability to resist, to refuse. So everybody is given the same ability to believe. Where does the Bible teach that? But anyway, concede this point for a moment. God gives everybody the same ability to believe, but the difference is some people go ahead and exercise that God-given faith, that God-given ability. Other people refuse to believe. They refuse to receive Christ. And so the difference between who is saved and who isn't is that some people don't resist God's grace and other people do. Well, if that's what makes the difference, then it really still boils down to a reward. It's not grace. It's merit. It's not grace. It's really works. May not be works in the sense of keeping the Ten Commandments and being baptized and some of these kind of works, but it's still a work. Well, then what is grace? Grace is what God gives without any obligation, without any merit, without any requirement, without any claim, without any debt, without any obligation, freely given, just because He chooses to do it. And therefore, grace, in order to be grace, must be, and I'll insert a word here, pure grace. Pure grace. If it's not all grace, if it's not pure grace, it's not grace. If you mix in a little bit of works, a little bit of merit, a little bit of obligation, a little bit of debt into it, it is no longer grace. That's what Paul is telling us in verse 6. He's making this very, very clear that we've got to keep these categories straight. And we'll talk about it again, Lord willing, tomorrow. Until then, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast. You can email us at beacon@netpath.net. Until tomorrow, good day. May God give you His eternal peace.